Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Lance Prime. A Manhattan, New York grand jury reportedly has the case of a Marine veteran accused of manslaughter for choking a man to death on a New York City subway train. ABC News is reporting the grand jury is now hearing the evidence in the case against Daniel Penny. He's accused of second-degree manslaughter in the chokehold that killed Jordan Neely on May 1st. Presidential candidate Donald Trump on a Fox News town hall gathering last night talks about alleged corruption at the Department of Justice and FBI and the dangers it imposes on our country.
It is a dual system of government. There's a dual system of... You talk about law and order. You can't have law and order in a country where you have such corruption.
The Senate passed a bill to raise the government's borrowing limit late last night, sending it to President Biden's desk. The bill is a deal struck by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden to raise the debt ceiling and cut spending. It passed by a 63-36 vote. Four Democrats, 31 Republicans, and one independent voted no. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the latest Republican state leader to announce she's sending National Guard troops to the Texas border with Mexico. The governor's office is reporting 80 guardsmen will assist with surveillance and reconnaissance efforts, along with increased detection and tracking. President Biden took a fall yesterday during the commencement ceremony at the U.S. Air Force Academy. The fall had many startled in the audience. The White House is reporting the president tripped over a sandbag and that he was not injured in the fall. Biden delivered the Air Force Academy's commencement address earlier in the day. A new accuser is suing Bill Cosby over an alleged sexual assault. A former Playboy playmate says the comedian drugged and raped her in 1969. Victoria Valentino seeks unspecified damages for sex assault and battery. USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
A judge is approving a settlement between Alec Baldwin and the family of cinematographer Helena Hutchins.
Hutchins was shot and killed by a live round on the set of Rust in 2021. Last month, manslaughter charges were dropped against Baldwin for his connection in her death. Hutchins' family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Baldwin and other producers, claiming that their reckless conduct and cost-cutting measures led to her death. On Thursday, a judge approved the settlement amount, calling it fair, appropriate, and in the best interest of Hutchins' family. Terms of the settlement have not been released. I'm Skip Kelly.
The Senate blocked President Biden's student debt relief program.
The Senate passed the measure in a 52-46 vote just days after it cleared the Republican majority House. Democratic Senators John Tester of Montana, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, and Independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona joined Republicans in voting to nix the Biden plan. The president is expected to veto the bill. The program would cancel up to $10,000 in loans for borrowers whose income falls below certain levels and up to $20,000 for those who received Pell Grants. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Twitter, head of trust and safety, Ella Irwin, resigned last night after owner Elon Musk publicly shamed his own staff over a content moderation decision. Twitter staff had decided that a video titled "What is a Woman?" by the Daily Wire's Matt Walsh violated the platform's hate speech rules. Twitter had recently announced a content deal with Daily Wire. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA News.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you, and we've got James Rosen, yes, the best-selling historian and chief White House correspondent for Newsmax, and, of course, the journalist, with us right now to talk about his new book, Scalia, Rise to Greatness, 1936 to 1986. James, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Bill, you're kind to have me back. Thank you.
No, it's our privilege to have you. Anytime we can get you on the air with us to talk, and of course, in this particular case, one of our heroes, Antonin Scalia, and this is going to be a two-part series basically because I noticed the dates 1936 to 1986. So this covers the first half of his life.
So, Bill, the book is called Scalia, Rise to Greatness. And, yes, it has the date frames that you mentioned, 1936, when Antonin Scalia was born, to 1986, the year he turned 50. The book ends with Antonin Scalia taking his seat as a justice on the Supreme Court. And so hopefully I'll be back with you, if not before then, I hope, but yes, at least in another 2.5 years or so, when the second and final volume of this biography will be published, which will cover Justice Scalia's Supreme Court years. This book, Scalia, Rise to Greatness, what I found is that there are two existing biographies of Antonin Scalia, both of which were published while he was alive, one of which he cooperated with extensively, the other not at all, and both turned out, Bill, really in pretty much the same place, which is to say fairly open contempt for Justice Scalia's jurisprudence, legacy, conduct. So this is the first book written about Antonin Scalia since he died. Mm-hmm. It makes a use of a vast wealth of new documentary and personal sources that were either overlooked by or unavailable to previous biographers. Mm-hmm. It is the most comprehensive treatment of his life, as his career and life prior to him becoming a justice on the Supreme Court were both fascinating and profoundly important for the country. But it is the first, I like to say, the first accurate biography of Antonin Scalia, because it is the first admiring biography of Antonin Scalia. This book proceeds from the point of view that Scalia was not just one of the most important Supreme Court justices of the last 100 years, but one of the most important Americans in public life in the last 100 years, because his impacts are felt through his rulings and opinions and the force of his intellect and through his Catholic faith in all areas of American life.
Exactly. Well, as an originalist scholar and lawmaker, well, law interpreter, I should say, he set the bar rather high, didn't he?
Well, it's interesting you say that. The book begins with a previously unpublished story, never reported before, that came to me from none other than John Bolton. The former White House National Security Advisor under President Trump, former U.N. Ambassador under the Bush-Cheney administration. Back in 1986, when Antonin Scalia was confirmed 98-0 by the U.S. Senate to sit on the Supreme Court, it was the job of the Assistant Attorney General in the Department of Justice, a particular Assistant Attorney General, to notify Antonin Scalia, the nominee, of the vote in the Senate. And that was John Bolton, who was 37 at the time, and yes, still had the mustache. And Bolton told me that Scalia was going to be out on the town at some black tie rubber chicken dinner in Washington when the people at the White House and the Department of Justice managing these kinds of confirmation battles would prefer that the nominee just be sitting twiddling his thumbs, perhaps in someone's ceremonial office or hotel room somewhere just while waiting for the call. But Scalia insisted on going out because he was a social beast. Yeah. So to address this, Bolton dedicated a telephone line in the kitchen at the Willard Hotel where the event was being held and enlisted a Willard employee to corral Scalia at the appointed hour to let him know the final vote. And Scalia was marched into the kitchen at the Willard and given the phone. And again, this is the moment of supreme vindication for Antonin Scalia. 98-0 confirmed right. to the Supreme Court. And, you know, the son of an immigrant, the true embodiment of the American dream. Here's when he learned that he achieved that American dream in such a spectacular fashion. When John Bolton's on the phone with him, and he's standing in the kitchen at the Willard, and Bolton says, "Nino, congratulations, you've been confirmed 98-0. And Bolton is waxing on about the greatness of the moment until he realizes that there's silence on the other end of the line. And finally, Scalia breaks the silence by saying, "Which two senators didn't vote?" Bolton says, "Well, it was Barry Goldwater, Republican of Arizona, and Jake Garn, Republican of Utah. But isn't it great? 98-0, you know, congratulations." The two men knew each other. They had been scholars at AEI together. Mm-hmm. And when Scalia, as a nominee, was prepared for his Senate hearings with what they call a murder board session, where they do sort of mock hearings, Bolton was an attendee of that process. So he felt great elation in Scalia's confirmation. Moreover, it had been tied to the elevation of William Rehnquist to be Chief Justice of the United States. And that was a very bitter process. Rehnquist survived, but he accrued 33 negative votes, which was the highest negative tally ever sustained at that point mm-hmm. by a confirmed Supreme Court nominee. It was so bad they called it the Rehnquisition. So from where Bolton sat, 98-0 was looking pretty good.
Absolutely.
After the hazards of the Rehnquisition. And Scalia says, "Do you mean to tell me that we couldn't get Goldwater and Garn?" With a hint of rebuke in his voice, like, "These should have been easy votes for us."
Exactly.
And now, Bolton told me he was growing irritated, so he answers him and he says, "Barry Goldwater we couldn't find. I did the research for the book. It turns out he went home sick because the vote was delayed into the evening. Hmm. And Senator Garn was in the hospital donating his kidney to his daughter." So Bolton says, "Nino, concentrate. You've just been confirmed 98-0. Mm-hmm. And Scalia says, "You're right. That's great." Mm-hmm. And I begin the book with this previously unreported anecdote because it shows the hallmark of Scalia's life was not just a commitment to excellence, but to perfection. And he was fond of saying, even as he became a justice, "I believe that when the Heavenly Father said, 'Be ye perfect,' he meant, 'Be ye perfect in all things.'"
Wow. Wow. Again, you know, this is all roots from his Catholic faith and that he brought forward that was a big part of his character and certainly his value on the bench.
Absolutely. But Scalia bristled when anyone would assert that he was grafting his Catholicism into the law, let's say, mm-hmm. Through his opinions. He liked to say that there's no such thing as a Catholic hamburger. The closest he said we could come to a Catholic hamburger would be a hamburger that is made perfectly. As late, by the way, into the 21st century, the imperfection of that 98-0 vote bothered him. There's videos on C-SPAN, and this is in the book, Scalia, Rise to Greatness, where he's talking as a justice who's served on the Supreme Court for many, many years at that point, like 2005. Mm-hmm. And he's still recounting his confirmation battle to students and saying, "So it was 98-0. So let's call it 100.
Why not? I mean, after all, Goldwater and Garn had perfect excuses not to be there, right? And I'm sure...
it's extraordinary.
He
wouldn't let it go well into the 21st century, this imperfection of his confirmation vote.
Well, that's the challenge of, you know, the desire to be perfect in all things, right? Because you can't handle the imperfect.
Father commands.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. Why not? Well, in the book, you detail 4 FBI background checks on Scalia. So he had to go through the gauntlet.
There's a lot of new documents in this book, Scalia Rise to Greatness. As I say, if you're a Scalia fan, if you're a student of American history and law and society, And you want to understand the profound influence of this man. This book, Scalia Rise to Greatness, is really the first one that, and the only one, because the previous books tended to interpret every phase and aspect of Scalia's life in the most tendentious terms.
Right.
But he had a profound impact in government and academia before he became a judge.
James, I'm sorry, we got to go to a quick break. Let's pick it up on the other side when we come back. More from James Rosen after this. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. That's 800-823-9853.
We're back with you, America.
America. Bill Martinez here. We're talking with James Rosen, his new book on Antonin Scalia, Rise to Greatness, 1936 to 1986. James, I'm sorry we had to go to a quick break and I had to cut you off, but let's pick it up from there when we were talking.
We were talking about the FBI files as one of the other deposits of documentary materials that are brought to light for the first time here. And honestly, four background checks in 14 years as Antonin Scalia rose through the executive and judicial branches. And these were dragnets where the vast machinery of the world's preeminent law enforcement organization was cranked up into gear with agents fanned out across the country. And over the course of the four background checks, you see the increasing use of computerization and the searching of quote-unquote data banks taking a more prominent role, all in an effort to find someplace, somewhere, some kind of derogatory information about Antonin Scalia. And none was ever turned up for the simple reason that none existed. He was devout Catholic, and he led, with his wife Maureen and their nine children, an exemplary life. But the testimonials that were collected by FBI agents across the years, where they were sometimes interviewing people who went back to associations with Scalia when he was 13 in 1949, would, as I say in the book, would that all lives paid such close scrutiny would reward with such superlative testimonials, because the FBI agents heard in interview after interview and hundreds of pages of typed documents of the same thing, that this is the brightest, most the smartest, most intellectually gifted person they've ever known. This is the most incorruptible, honest, devout man I've ever known. This is a person of the highest character, the highest integrity, the highest character, the highest integrity. It would go on and on like this. And not just that he was qualified to be a federal judge, but they couldn't think of anyone more qualified. There is no more qualified candidate. And in some ways, the FBI files are the most revealing glimpse onto the life that Antonin Scalia led. Because look at how vast were the resources that were devoted to finding anything unsavory. And what came back and said was universal acclaim like that. It's never been published before, and you'll find it in this book.
Wow, that's awesome. Also, you mentioned, speaking of Justice Rehnquist, his comment to Justice Scalia about going by legal reasoning versus going for results. This is interesting. Go ahead.
So Rehnquist and Scalia knew each other a long time, and their careers were sort of entwined with each other and linked to each other at different juncture points. And, of course, when Scalia was nominated to the Supreme Court, it was paired with Rehnquist's nomination to be elevated from Associate Justice to Chief Justice. And Scalia's first, 19 years or so were spent with William Rehnquist as the Chief Justice. And then, of course, came John Roberts. So they had a long relationship. They were poker buddies. He was very fond of Bill Rehnquist. He didn't think Rehnquist always pursued the originalist approach that Scalia would have preferred. But he had great respect for Rehnquist's intellect and his long service, particularly in a lonely period on the Warren Court when being a conservative was lonely indeed. However, Scalia late in life, in the years just before he died in 2016, confided to classes that he taught of continuing legal education for members of the Federalist Society and other organizations. He would teach when the Supreme Court was out of session in the summers in far-flung and exotic locales, both because he loved teaching and it brought him to far-flung and exotic locales. He might sneak in a fishing or a hunting trip, etc. But in those classes, I have the account of a student who participated in two of them and heard the remark of Justice Scalia, which was also reported by the professor that he co-taught with, that before Scalia came to the Supreme Court, when he was still a judge on the Court of Appeals with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Robert Bork and other great judges, his friend, his poker buddy, William Rehnquist, had said to him, as a justice of the Supreme Court, "Nino, you worry too much about the reasoning in your opinions. You need to just focus on the outcome." Words to that effect. And the student who heard Scalia relate this, which was after Rehnquist's death, took notes on the subject matter, kept all of his coursework from the Scalia course, and was able to present them to me. And he captured this remark in real time. And, of course, that was not the kind of justice that Antonin Scalia intended to be. Justice Scalia was primarily concerned with process and not with outcome, and often came to outcomes he personally detested from his own political point of view, such as his decisions in behalf of certain criminal suspects, his decisions in behalf of people to have the opportunity to burn the American flag. That's protected speech. He often came to decisions he didn't particularly like, but he felt that that was a natural outcome of judging when you're doing it right, which is to adhere to the original meaning of a law or the Constitution that it had when it was enacted, and to use the text of the Constitution or the law in order to divine that original meaning. There was a counter notion that was prevalent when he came to the federal bench, liberal espoused, called the living Constitution, the idea that, well, this should be a living, breathing organism that can expand to accommodate new phenomena that the founders couldn't possibly have anticipated, like nuclear weapons or the Internet. But Scalia argued for originalism and the idea that if some unelected judge somewhere comes along 10 years after a statute is passed, or 50 years, or 200 years, or after the Constitution, to say, well, it didn't mean what it was widely understood to mean at the time when it was enacted. It now means this, something more larger, or something that accommodates our personal policy preferences today. So Scalia stood athwart all of that. By the time he died, Bill, no less a figure than Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan, an appointee of Barack Obama, had proclaimed. In fact, as a result of Scalia's revolution in the way that judges and lawyers think about the law and what's important about the law, the original meaning and the text, she famously said, "We are all originalists now."
Wow. Well, you know, the thing is, you would hope that the justices, like a good umpire, would know the difference between a ball and a strike, right?
Well, or the need to call balls and strikes, and not just serve themselves up with strikes anytime they feel like it.
Exactly.
I think I might have mixed our metaphor there.
Well, that's okay. I'm with you. I'm following you. Go ahead.
Scalia's highest love really was for separation of powers. He revered the Federalist Papers and the Founders, and they're a genius for political science. He used to say that it isn't the Bill of Rights that keeps us free. He said every single tin horn dictator has a Bill of Rights that in many cases is more lavish in its conferral of freedoms on the oppressed people in those countries than ours is. What keeps us free, what guarantees our freedoms, is the Constitution itself, Scalia argued. With its delicate and ingenious balance of powers between the branches, and of course its reverence for federalism, the idea that the federal government cannot impose unduly on the prerogatives of the states. That structure, that organism, doesn't change over time, and it shouldn't be used to address modern social problems or preferences, whether in Scalia's view it was abortion or the death penalty or anything else. He favored a very modest role for judges and courts. And he famously said, with respect to one case, about whether a woman in a vegetative state should be allowed her family to terminate her life support, he said that the justices on the Supreme Court, the case was out of Kansas, know nothing more or have no greater experience or wisdom to know whether that's appropriate than the 9 people picked out of random in the Kansas telephone directory. He thought this was power that was properly directed back to the people and their elected representatives.
Exactly. Now, about a minute and a half left. Two interesting relationships. Obviously, people often talk about the yin and yang between Scalia and RBG, but also Robert Bork.
Yes. So it's interesting. The one deep friendship that Scalia had with Bork for many years, for a variety of reasons, kind of ebbed precisely at the moment that his friendship with Ruth Bader Ginsburg really took off. And this is one of the true archival triumphs of this book, which is the way that Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia got to know each other, the beginning of their celebrated friendship, was that they both served as judges on the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. It's the appellate court that is one rung below the Supreme Court. And the D.C. Circuit is often referred to as the second most powerful court in America. That's where both RBG and her friend Nina were judges, and they got to know each other first before they both went up to the Supreme Court.
His book, Scalia, Rise to Greatness, 1936 to 1986, the best-selling historian, chief White House correspondent for Newsmax and journalist James Rosen has been with us. James, congratulations on the book. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Attention timeshare owners. Tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed fee legal solution in the country, with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
USA News Update. The Senate passed a bill to raise the government's borrowing limit late last night, sending it to President Biden's desk. The bill is a deal struck by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden to raise the debt ceiling and cut spending. It passed by a 63-36 vote. Four Democrats, 31 Republicans, and one independent voted no. Presidential candidate Donald Trump on a Fox News town hall gathering last night talks about alleged corruption at the Department of Justice and FBI and the dangers it imposes on our country.
It is a dual system of government. There's a dual system of... You talk about law and order. You can't have law and order in a country where you have such corruption.
Game one of the best-of-seven NBA finals last night went to Denver over Miami, 104-93. Game two is Sunday. Lance Pry, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, what if politicians couldn't lie? Think about that for just a moment. You know, what would happen if they only could tell you the truth? Well, that is the premise of a fascinating satire called True Blue Revolution. It was out several years ago. And in fact, before MAGA, you know, there was the call for a True Blue Revolution. And this book is eerily prophetic, written by a national and international business consultant of large multi-billion-dollar organizations who've worked for 20 years as a senior officer, as well as for $2 billion organizations. So rather busy man. But an interesting premise here. Jerry Wilbur says that America is being run by psychopaths. Pretty strong term, right? And as I say, he asked the question, what if politicians couldn't lie? This book is a creative but overwrought work of cultural commentary, political satire that imagines an organization of highly organized psychopaths commandeering American politics. I say it's a bit prophetic because what he writes about, which was originally penned back in 2013, he calls it out as he sees it. You know, about psychopaths, including U.S. democracy, with a pure intent of taking absolute control. No question, right? I mean, power and control. Lindsey Graham said it in the Kavanaugh hearings. He looked at the Democrats, his constituents, and said, gosh, you guys, you are so hungry for power and control. He said, I hope to God you don't get it.
Well, unfortunately, you need more than hope to make sure that they didn't get it. And they wrestled it away. And they've got it, and here we are, you know, dealing with the results of said power and control that they so lust for. Well, this novel reads like a bold prophecy, as I mentioned, an apt and relevant reflection of the confusing political state of the nation in which it's set. However, Jerry Wilbur is quick to remind readers that the book was conceived and written long before Make America Great Again ever donned a red baseball cap or Hillary was nominated to run. So, I think for anybody that has been a political historian or interested in politics could see where we're headed. As we're seeing today, you know, it doesn't take a prescient genius to see that the trajectory in which we're going on is not good. This is why you have over 60% of the country saying, look at, I disagree and the country's on the wrong track. But we're counting on leaders who got us into the mess to get us out of the mess. And I think we have to look at something quite revolutionary. You know, revolutionary that would be represented truly in the ballot box. Not something that was contrived in 2020 that most people agree. Most polite company will agree that something was way off. And we just can't seem to get to the bottom of it. And the establishment does not want us to get to the bottom of it, clearly, right? We've spent all this money investigating Donald Trump and, you know, different theories and conspiracies and all this. But we can't spend dime one on answering the number one question that people have in America today. How did Joe Biden win? You know, just doesn't seem to add up, doesn't seem plausible. It's somebody operating. I mean, think about it on service. Somebody, he didn't go out and campaign. Everything was, you know, shut down. They protected him. They wanted to protect his image. You know, the problems clearly that he was having, you know, with his health. And, you know, certainly in his ability to articulate, you know, policy and what was going on, and he'd have good days and bad days. I get that. You know, we all do. And but clearly, there is some deficiency in the person of Joe Biden, and that is quite obvious. And I'm not just talking about okay, he fell over, you know, at a graduation ceremony, and he fell upstairs. I'm not talking about that. I mean, it's sad. You know, we're seeing somebody who is the president of the United States. This should not be. And we're having to suffer this because, not because the people voted. It's because those that count the votes, because we are told, you know, by the communists that it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. And clearly this is what happened. You know, the establishment, the Democratic Party, the party of fraud and voter fraud and ballot stuffing, you know, got the right people and set up the perfect scenario, all under the guise of COVID, right? That was their door opener for them to do all this. See, but, you know, we can't have this conversation. We can't talk about it. We can't ask questions. Go, wait a minute. How does Joe Biden deliver 82 million votes, you know, and he beats Donald Trump by, what, 10 million votes, roughly, más o menos? And there's no coattails. You know, there should have been, based on that number of votes, common sense would tell you, tradition would tell you, that there should have been a blue wave. That the Democratic Party should have just overwhelmed the system. But they got what they wanted. They got the White House, you know, and still to this day, I still scratch my head as to how they were able to even, you know, win the two additional seats there in Georgia. It was like the Republicans just gave up. That somehow the protest of January 6th just took all the wind out of their sails, all the passion, and they felt like, you know, they were the odd man out, and somehow they had to apologize for the American people. They didn't have to apologize for the American people. The American people, and what they needed to do was apologize to the American people because they didn't believe them. I mean, you're not going to have over a million people descend on the Capitol and going, wait a minute, we don't like what happened. But you just ignore it and you tamp it down and you throw everybody in jail and you squash all this. And, you know, what Donald Trump said the other night, I mean, this isn't new news. I mean, we have a multi-tiered, it's not just a two-tiered, we have a multi-tiered justice system. You know, if you're on the side of the Democrats, have your way. Get away with whatever you want, whatever needs to be the reason at the time. But if you're a conservative, again, this is, I mean, it's like back. It's like, wait a minute, I didn't realize Lois Lerner came back on the scene. Well, it's not Lois Lerner, it's that ideology. It says, look, we hate conservatives. They're domestic terrorists, these MAGA people. I mean, the President of the United States refers to people who are guilty of wanting to make America great again. What was the Tea Party guilty of? Guilty of downsizing government and holding government accountable for all the money that we invest, all the money they take from us in the form of taxes, right? No fiduciary responsibility. And then now we find out that, you know, our votes don't even count. The system's rigged. They've set up a system of control in such a way that they get the results that they want, not the results the voter wants. It's no longer a government of, for, by, and we the people. It has become a government of, for, and by the ruling elite class. And you complain, but we have to do much more than complain. Kind of like we're talking with Jeff Johnson right now in the culture war that's taking place. Is that we've got to push back in an intentional and concerted way. Now, and I guess sometimes what happens in people of faith, I mean, we want to represent the kingdom in a righteous manner. I understand that, and I wholeheartedly agree. But we have to know, just like the book of Ecclesiastes says, that we have to know the difference when there's wartime and when there's peace. You know, when to love, when to hate. And what to love and what to hate. God's real clear. Says that when it comes to Him and it comes to His name and all things that pertain to Him, there's a clear delineation. You either love God, love those things, or you hate God and hate those things. And for those of us who believe, we're to align with that accordingly. So we love the allies of God and we hate the enemies of God. And clearly, they're coming out in full force these days. And so how do we respond? By God's grace and mercy, I pray that God would reveal to us clearly and that we would be united in His kingdom coming.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088. How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you
you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it. And you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine2bar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vine2bar.com.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
We're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you can check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. I've been looking forward to this conversation with Karen Abercrombie. In fact, we were supposed to talk last year, and our schedules got crisscrossed. And, you know, I've got to tell you, Karen, I have been such a fan of yours, especially since War Room. I still hear your voice. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. It was just,
such an awesome
depiction. I mean, it just really warms my heart. So it's an honor to be talking with you this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I'm grateful to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Well, Karen Abercrombie is an award-winning actress, Parents' Choice award-winning storyteller, award-winning independent film producer, highly sought-after speaker, and an avid environmentalist. She played Elise in PureFlix's Heaven Sent, as you may recall, and she's playing Eleanor in Eleanor's Bench, which is going to be releasing on PureFlix on June the 30th, so coming soon and very soon. So, Karen, for people who don't know, what is the movie Eleanor's Bench about?
Well, actually, it is a television series about a woman who has left her old neighborhood, and she's doing very well. She is now a judge, mm-hmm. and certain things take place, and she is drawn back to become a juvenile judge. You know, to sit on the mm-hmm. juvie bench, and the mm-hmm. stories, oh my goodness, the stories are hopeful, heartbreaking, you name it.
Mm. Well, and you get a lot of teaching moments there, I bet, right?
Oh my goodness, yes, yes indeed.
Well, and it's probably something, Karen, the young people really need to hear in this day and age.
Very much so. And also to also see that there are a lot of adults in their corner, you know, and so hopefully they will be encouraged to tune in and listen and watch and see how we can all be a part of making a difference in the lives of, you know, the young kids, the teens, and then the world in general as a result of it. So definitely, definitely positive, powerful messages here.
What attracted you to this role of Eleanor?
Well, a couple of things. A woman who came from the other side of the tracks, she's done well for herself. But a lot of people, they just continue on. They never look back to bring anybody alongside them or even push someone past them. So that is one thing. But also there is an element. My family, we were foster family for many, many, many years. And so I, with working with these children, we dealt with them going back and forth to court over and over and over again. So, you know, my heart was pierced by this story, and I just was so excited to be a part of it because I've lived it. I know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in this series, it's got to be interesting for you because you get your normal self, and then you've got your younger self. What's that like playing the younger, you know, working with an actor who's playing the younger version of your character?
It's absolutely wonderful for a lot of reasons. You get to look at where you came from, you know, so to have that element added into the story is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And I think it'll be valuable to those watching, you know, as they look back on their younger selves and see where they've come, and then watching our story, where they can go and the difference that they can make.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eleanor's Bench is serious, but also because it involves humanoids like all of us.
Yes.
There's some comedy. It could be fun there, right, too?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, can you share anything about some of the you know, stories, side stories there within the series? Give us a little preview.
Yes. For example, my high school sweetheart. I went off to live in a different world, and he stayed around the neighborhood, and so he loses his wife. And because my father is older now and I'm trying to get him to move in with me and he refuses to, so with my coming and going, I'm always seeing my ex. And so there's something brewing there, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. There's something brewing there, and there's some humor in that. There's a lot of humor in that. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good fun. We can look forward to that, seeing it when the series opens up the end of this month. Now, how is your story of faith similar to or different from Eleanor?
Well, like Eleanor, there have been times in my life where I was, I guess, cooler than I was hot, you know, bordering on lukewarm. And we don't want to do that faith-wise. It does nothing. It could be dangerous at some point, you know, as you separate or just that distance grows between you and God. But so there have been times in my life like that. And that is where we find Eleanor at the start of this all. And,
exactly.
Our similarities, as I had mentioned before, she's going, her dealings with children in that have been removed from their homes, that have been incarcerated. And yes, I'm talking about children.
Yeah.
And and, you know, those that will be going into other placements, you know, into foster care. So those are similarities, and yeah.
Exactly. Well, we're talking with Karen Abercrombie. She plays the role of Eleanor Thompson, who lost her faith after years of witnessing gang violence in her inner city neighborhood. Now, as a high-profile judge, her mission is to make a difference by saving at-risk youth from getting stuck in a cycle of injustice. And so as she gave us a little preview, you know, we will see how her renewed sense of purpose reinvigorates her own faith. Who should see Eleanor's bench and why, Karen?
The young and the old. Men and women, the stories, people across the board will be able to relate to one way or the other, for sure.
You know, we mentioned the at-risk youth and getting in the system. You know, what we have seen time and again in real life, I mean, boy, it's even without being in jail, so to speak, and once you get in the system, it's like you're typecast in that system, aren't you?
You really are. And for my family, we chose the older kids because nobody wanted to deal with them. You know, they had heard things about them, that they're all rough and tough and mean. But we have had some incredible experiences with the older children. As a matter of fact, we're still in contact with them, have been blessed mightily by them for many reasons, because then you can look back and see how God's patience is for you, you know, because he's patient with us.
Amen. Amen. Love still works, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed. Ooh.
Yeah, it is the power of L-O-V-E, and especially when the father is in the middle of it, no doubt about it.
That, absolutely. And that's how he calls us to live and what he calls us to do, love.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Karen Abercrombie, as we wrap things up, remind everybody when the series will be released and where can people watch it?
Okay, everybody can tune into the PureFlix streaming platform. Eleanor's Bench makes its debut on June 30th. And there will be stories that will just pull you in. And it doesn't make a difference where you come from or what you've done or whatever. The stories you'll be able to relate to. Wonderfully written.
Definitely looking forward to it. One final question. What does the future hold for you?
A lot of producing right now. I can be seen at the tail end of Guardians of the Galaxy that's playing right now. And I've got several different projects that I'm putting to flight. And one is a faith-based, I guess you could put it in with Narnia, you know, in that respect, powerful.
Well, there we are. Yes. She's the award-winning actress, Parents' Choice Award-winning storyteller. Karen Abercrombie has been with us. Karen, God bless. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best for Eleanor's Bench.
Blessings to you, too. Thank you so much.
You got it.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of...